6 weeks into marriage, tears streaming down her face on the bedroom floor, a young bride wondered how to resign from being a wife. This wasn't supposed to happen. College sweethearts who earned their degrees and marriage certificate within weeks of each other, it should have been perfect. Instead of candlelit dinners and surprise flowers, there were burnt roasts, arguments about late work hours, and solitary walks after heated disputes. Sound familiar? Here's the uncomfortable truth. We're sold a fairy tale and handed reality with no instruction manual. From childhood, we absorb impossibly idealistic views. Barbie and Ken never fought over who left the toilet seat up, TV couples resolved conflicts in 30 minutes minus commercials, and everyone else's marriage looked effortlessly perfect from the outside. We set the bar stratospherically high, expecting conflict-free romance and effortless harmony. Then we wonder why we're constantly disappointed. But there's something deeper at work. Marriage is hard because we're flawed people in a broken world, each carrying our own baggage, expectations, and stubborn insistence on having things our way. The most revolutionary realization? Marriage isn't primarily about our happiness. It's a living sermon about Christ's relationship with the church. Your marriage preaches to a watching world through lifelong covenant, sexual exclusivity, and self-sacrifice. People are reading your sermon whether you realize it or not. Remember when his spontaneity seemed charming? When her constant chatter felt endearing? Fast forward a few years, his easygoing nature now looks like passivity. Her sociability feels exhausting. During courtship, opposites attract. Introverts drawn to extroverts, meticulous planners fascinated by free spirits. But marriage has a way of turning attraction into attack. Think of marriage like twill fabric, two distinct threads woven together, creating surprising durability. Your differences aren't design flaws, they're features that create resilience. Consider your spouse as sanctified sandpaper. Yes, they rub you the wrong way sometimes, but that friction smooths your rough edges. A perfectionist learns patience from their relaxed partner. An impulsive spouse develops planning skills from their methodical mate. As Proverbs puts it, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Minor annoyances metastasize into major frustrations when we dwell on them. Forgetting to use turn signals leads to mentally cataloging every other habit. Cabinet doors left open, empty containers returned to the fridge. But here's wisdom. Everybody's got something. Your quirks test your spouse's patience just as much. Will you extend grace or keep score? Most marital conflicts stem from three troublemakers: baggage, expectations, and perceptions. We bring past experiences into marriage, lingering insecurities from childhood, feelings of inadequacy from criticism, or dysfunctional family patterns. Expectations create disappointment. We import standards from families, media, and social media's highlight reels. A handy father creates expectations for our spouse. Parents who clean together create frustration when our spouse relaxes after dinner. Perceptions, thoughts based on appearance that we treat as truth, complete this trio. Imagine thinking your neighbor is rude for ignoring greetings, only to discover he's deaf. We assign negative motives to neutral actions and treat feelings as facts. The antidote? Believe the best, not the worst. Ask clarifying questions rather than jumping to conclusions. Describe your feelings while recognizing they aren't always facts. This shift transforms conflicts into opportunities for deeper understanding. Marriage is like JB Weld epoxy, two different substances that, when mixed, create an incredibly strong bond withstanding extreme temperatures. Attempting to pry them apart causes damage. Prevention beats intervention. Establish guidelines together, address issues before they fester, avoid discussions when someone is leaving or exhausted, set regular check-in times, and clarify expectations proactively. Think relationship maintenance, not crisis management. When conflict arrives, fight fair. Refrain from always and never. Avoid resurrecting past issues. Express feelings rather than attacking actions. Don't assign motives. You're not a mind reader. Speak truth lovingly. Remember, your spouse isn't the enemy. Satan is. Pray through issues, not just about them. Be quick to apologize and forgive. At one book release party, a friend complimented the loving spark between a couple, unaware they'd just argued in the car over plain white paper plates. Previously, such trivial matters might have caused days of tension. The transformative question, is it worth the negative feelings, the tension for the rest of today, in light of eternity? The answer is usually no. Dating couples find magic in routine moments. Greeting cards under doors, surprise ice cream deliveries. Long married couples often grow perfunctory, mistaking familiarity for romance's end rather than deeper love's beginning. Greek distinguishes four loves: philia, friendship, storge, family affection, eros, passionate love, and agape, unconditional sacrificial love. While agape appears over 320 times in the New Testament describing God's love, eros never appears. Marriages often begin with eros, self-centered and fleeting. They truly need agape, the God-originated, choice-based love that persists despite circumstances. We wrongly expect spouses to fulfill needs only God can meet. Instead, view marriage as God's tool for Christlikeness. Love is a choice, not a feeling. Make marriage a contest of generosity by outdoing one another in showing honor. True romance evolves from expensive florist bouquets to quietly scraping snow off your spouse's car before their late-night flight. Finding magic in the mundane requires learning your spouse's love language and appreciating their unique expressions of devotion. We often view our marriages like a YouTube video that recut Mary Poppins into a horror film, selectively recalling only our worst moments. Instead, intentionally focus on the good times with gratitude. Like spotting a single beautiful flower in a weedy garden, develop the ability to look for loveliness amid life's thickets. Reframe marital difficulties as opportunities for spiritual growth. These challenging times drive us to prayer and God's Word, where we find comfort and solutions. Marriage struggles can become awe-filled times that deepen your relationship with God, making you both more Christ-like. Build a marriage safety net with three components: close friends who share your goal of a God-honoring marriage, a couple for regularly processing life, and one trusted confidant for honest sharing. Choose friends wisely. Scripture warns that bad company corrupts good character. Look for friends who make sin look bad, God look big, grace look tangible, and the gospel look true. These relationships provide accountability that breeds responsibility. Discover your unique ministry calling together by identifying people you could help, reflecting on past struggles, and cataloging interests that could serve others, creating shared purpose that strengthens your bond. A weathered sign reading June 21, 1986, and 221 guests anchors one woman to her covenant when thoughts like, "Why did I ever marry this guy?" surface. G.K. Chesterton wisely answered, "What's wrong with the world?" with, "Dear sir, I am." In marriage, we magnify our spouse's sins while minimizing our own. The key? Mind your own sin first. Sometimes marriage feels hopeless, but perseverance stories illuminate the path. The wife whose husband said, "I don't want to be married to you," for years before recognizing true commitment. The woman who took her husband's 1 ounce of hope to Jesus and focused on her own growth. The wife who stayed after her pastor husband's infidelity, watching God rebuild their marriage. Like a magnificent lilac blooming unseen in a remote field, a thriving marriage may not gather an audience, but remains beautiful. When you don't feel like showing up, Jesus lovingly says, "Will you please just do it for me?" In a world celebrating divorce parties with "I'm done" cakes, your perseverance preaches a countercultural sermon of covenant love reflecting Christ's unwavering commitment to his bride.